these are subject matters that require an update. In the beginning of the financial year 2018-2019, we did declare and made it very clear when we received the budget and the plans from the department that this year is, or rather this budget, we put it so blunt and said, is an election budget. Whichever way you look at it, we made it so abundantly clear. What that meant is that these public representatives would be expecting so much from yourselves in terms of service delivery. The experiences that we have been having over the past year have not been attesting to that, did not take that into consideration. The experiences that we've had over the past year have moved us from bad to worse. These are the kinds of experiences that we've been painstakingly been accustomed to. We would have thought, when we made it very clear, when we did not mince our words, we had thought that you shall have been expected to pull up your socks. Given your history and background as a Department of Water and Sanitation. Yes, it's a new department. Yes, functions have been all over. You had to pull together two different divisions into one department. Sanitation was somewhere in human settlement, and water was somewhere with environment. We have been able to pull this together. It also warranted the department to get into all sorts of reconfigurations in terms of policy and also in terms of the legislation that we've been pursuing for as long as we can remember. Let alone the master plan that we bumped into in Netherlands, a South African water plan by the South African National Department of Water and Sanitation. Have you been calling for it here in South Africa? We only could get it in Netherlands. It became a very serious embarrassment on the part of the department, an indictment, in fact. Hence, then, we find ourselves in accessing information. We have to call some of you one by one, quietly and privately. What is going on in that department? Because we want to hear the real story. Because when we come here, unfortunately, you do not give us the real story. Short of saying you do lie when you come here in Parliament. The unfortunate part is that these members of parliament have not been holding the department to account or any officials to account. There hasn't been any consequence management to that effect, because it's illegal to lie in parliament. That's the unfortunate part. Probably members of parliament have been too lax and thinking that department officials at one point they shall wake up and get to understand that indeed they have got to tell the truth and nothing else but the truth. We have just come out of a break in December. We have had a bit of break, some of us. And some of us, as we always say, were told to go out and take a break, but not forget to work, Mr. Hugo. Now, I know some of us have been hard at work. December time becomes a very difficult time. It gets very hot. You can imagine when it gets so hot and there is no water. What happens in those communities, especially in the villages? We have an unfortunate situation where our relations with COGTA are really finding it difficult to gel. Under normal circumstances, we're supposed to be working together with COGTA, cooperating on every item that deals with the service provision of water resource. Because constitutionally, both the department and also the local government are enjoined to work together. Your department and your water boards, they go as far as bulk water provision is concerned. And your local government department goes further in saying that this water must then go to the households, reticulation. There is one aspect, content advisor and researcher, that we have not been involved in. Neither COGTA has also been involved in, members. This is an aspect that talks to tariff structuring. Something that we might wish to just park on the side. Your raw water has got its own tariff regime. Your bulk water has got its own tariff regime. But when that water out of that municipality flows into a homestead, the municipalities do as they wish. And nobody is able to monitor that aspect. So our communities out there are at disposal of any, if you like, action that any municipality might wish to take in terms of tariffs and sale of that water. It is one area that has been so gray for a long time. I'm repeating precisely because you have both your water boards and your department that I was raising this matter also with the fellows from SALGA on the sidelines at the SONA. And they realized and they recognized that fact, that indeed it's an omission, it's a gray area, we have to attend to it. So we are starting the year on this note, having made those few remarks. And again, as I repeat, we are not starting anything new. It is a continuation of work that had started. Part of this work shall have started within the term period we are in, and part of it is work that shall have started even before we came into being as 2014-2019 Committee of Parliament. reference here could take us through to your Guyana project. In that context, we're talking about work in progress that talks to unfinished projects that the department had commissioned, whether through any water board or the department directly commissioning such. And I can safely say, with advice that we got from Mamkaula, that these projects are not only confined to Kiani. She was mentioning something to the effect that you also do have some of these projects elsewhere in KZN. Hence, the correspondence directed to the department that are suggesting that we need to have a holistic picture of where these unfinished business or other unfinished projects are, so that we're not only confined, as I repeat, to Kiani project. Talking about the budget eradication program, you've got a budget of about, if I'm not mistaken, 579 million rands. I'm not too sure you are, as you mentioned in one of our sessions earlier, I think as the year concluded last year, you are expected to be able to spend that money before the year end. You promised us I can't remember by when, that you shall be expected to be starting those programs towards concluding that budget eradication program. But by end of March, you shall already have been able to conclude on that. The third one talks to war on leaks. War on leaks being an issue that has been raised with you dating back 2015. Dr. Lugot, are you okay? You fine, sir? You're welcome as well here. Thank you, sir. The War on Leaks program is a program that started in 2015. From its inception, it really took its own zigzags as it continued with its own zigzags as we speak now. It is still at that zigzag. The department will fill us in as to whether are we now on a straight line. At first instance, we got the War on Leaks program featuring nowhere in your APP. In the subsequent year, your annual performance plan had it on program one. As we speak now, it is on program three. We did ask a question as to where the budget is going to come from. To put it blunt, it became a story of having to rob Peter to pay Paul. That's where the situation is. We shall have to be enlightened more as to whether that is not the case, that now we are on a straight line, that the program is indeed going to be concluded upon. And the timelines being given, starting from where things are as we speak, what is the roadmap going forward, so that we are clear going forward This is a program aimed at training 15,000 young people into being artisans. The aim having to fix your municipal infrastructure. We impressed upon the department to collaborate with COCTA, precisely because this infrastructure, again I repeat, it is municipal infrastructure. It makes every sense, therefore, to collaborate with municipalities. I had a pleasure over the past few days, effectively last week, of having met two of the companies that are privately owned and run, who were indicating that they have technologies that they are making use of, that they can detect any leakage. They also mentioned, the same company, that they are even keen to train some of these water engineers. Another company, also a very big user of water, was similarly expressing the same sentiment. With the challenges that the department has in terms of availability of money, there's a lot of money out there in the private sector. Obviously, they have their own interests to get to earn a good name. Thus far, that's what I've got to understand. Whether that will translate into anything for them, especially on the marketing side, that they are collaborating and working together with government, it's fine. Who does not work with government? Now, that relationship, therefore, has to extend beyond your COCTA. That's, in a nutshell, the point I'm trying to raise. We had a meeting the other day with the mining houses. They were equally very keen to assist. One thing they were saying for sure is that they were not going to give money to the municipalities. But they were keen to avail, engineers, and also very keen to say, here are the boreholes for Maribeng, for Machakaneng. We can provide more water. The department was meant to make a follow-up on that. I don't know how far did that one go. Now, these are the three areas that we thought we should bring to the fore for the department to keep us up to speed at the end of the day, not only to be kept up to speed, but to see that there is conclusion on work started. I'm not going to say much about the bucket eradication program. This is a program that whose goalposts have been shifting from left, right, center. And the projects that have been unfinished, you can just imagine the cost overruns that the department gets to be exposed to. On the war on leaks, it is one story that we really need to put to rest once and for all. Members, with those few words, and welcome Mr. Mguni, welcome Mam Kaula, Mr. Hugo, Dr. Kabini, Mr. Khair, Mr. Pason, Mrs. Khamakhabane, Mrs. Kekana, welcome. It's a new year. It promises to be a lot better than the previous year, with all of us, of course, working together. We shall indeed do a lot more in terms of achieving what we want to achieve, which binds us together here. As we always say, we are not friends, we are not family. We are bound by one objective, that of having to see to it that our communities out there, they have clean water that they can make use of in terms of drinking, in terms of cooking, in terms of sewerage, in terms of irrigation. That's what binds us together. Anything else outside of that, we care little about. We are aware that you call us names who are not going to be sidetracked by those. We have a mission, and we're going to make sure that we achieve that mission. Members, that is how far I can go with my remarks, and wishing all of us the best of the year. As I said, trusting that it is going to be a lot better than the previous year. It's concluded with our collaboration. Members, if there is any comment, we shall allow that before we allow the department officials led by Mam Thabiseng. I've said a lot, I've said a mouthful, I'm aware. Nothing from members. We're fine. The year is starting. We are okay with the year thus far. Okay, members, we shall then allow you, Mrs. Thabiseng, to take us through. If there is an introduction of anyone we don't know, that shall happen. We did receive the apologies. We are equally very resolute that those that are involved in the programs are here, and those that are expected to be accounting are here. And we expect decisions here that are to take us forward, so that we don't just find ourselves having met for sake of meeting. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Thank you, Chair, for your opening remarks. I'm with a team, I think all of them, you know them. I'm with Mr. Andre van der Bevelt, who is heading the BEP, and Mr. Moate, the acting CFO, and Mr. Manas, the acting DDG infrastructure, and Ms. Mohapi, who is the lead in the program of War on Leaks. Chair, we have taken note of your opening remarks and also the good comments that we have put forward for us to take forward in terms of the proposals that we are bringing up for the department to take on. In accordance to the program, Chair, we will start with the War on Leaks, and we do agree that the program, yes, it has some challenges, and despite the challenges that are still going on, the program is still ongoing. A major of the challenges that are facing the program is related to the funding, which from time to time, the department being unable to pay the implementing agents on time, and that results to sometimes pay the stipends late in the month, not within the time that is stipulated in the obligation. However, Renwater, our implementing agent, they do come into part in rescue to pay the institutions to avoid the disruptions in regard to the students. And the program, Chair, as you know, the background was spread into three phases, and today we are going to take through the committee with phase one and phase two, as well as the placement that has already taken place. And in this case, I am going to give over to Ms. Ndileka Mohapi to give us the progress in terms of the phase one and the phase two, as well as the placement. Ms. Mohabi.
Welcome, Minister. We did get your apology that you were going to start off with your cabinet. Once again, thanks for always availing yourself to this Committee of Parliament. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Excuse me. And then morning, everyone. Let me repeat. Morning, everyone. thank you very much, Chair, for giving me this opportunity. What I wanted to request is that, is it not possible that we give the minister a bite now? We just brief him, then he, before Dilaka can continue, because already the minister is here. Thank you very much.
Minister, that's a suggestion from one of the members of the committee. If you wouldn't wish to have any comments to make before we start off.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. Chair, with respect, and I appreciate what the principal has said, but I would be happy with the presentation and then later on could come in. Thank you very much, Chair, if the committee agrees.
That should be fine. Okay. Thanks, Ms. Ntlaka.
Good morning, Chairperson, Minister, members of the Portfolio Committee, and colleagues. I am not really going to waste time. I will try to get into the issues that we have been invited here today to present. And as well, taking cognizance of the comments that have been made by you, Chair, which are really encouraging because we have been listening, and we will try to demonstrate that there are instances where we have listened and we are trying to put some of the advice that you give through to us to test and see to it that it's implemented. As indicated earlier, we have been coming to the committee and we have presented to the committee the progress on WarnLeaks, and as such, the presentation has tried to cut off a lot of the other information, which is old information, that has been presented to the committee before. But just to quickly refresh our minds is how we came to WarnLeaks, based on the fact that there were water losses that were costing the country close to $7.2 billion then, which was in 2012. And there were serious challenges because the average losses were at 37%, whereas you could find that in some of the municipalities, especially those in the rural areas, with the aged and dilapidated infrastructure, the losses could be as high as 80%. If we move on to slide 4, which is a map that shows the water losses as at 2015, it clearly indicates that the reds, which is where the losses are higher than 50%, are more or less in most of those district municipalities that were prioritized then. I have talked to slide 15, which is the one that really depicts the losses highest at about 80%. Especially in some of the municipalities within the Chris Hani District Municipality and the range thereafter. And as such, those figures influenced as to how we did the intake. The objective of the project itself was to train 15,000 unemployed youth, as we know, to be water agents, artisans, and plumbers, and to try and embed a culture of water conservation through advocacy amongst the communities, the work which would be done by the water agents. Prior to the initiation of the project, there were wide consultations with the water boards, entities that account to the department, to try and solicit some input so that there is a better strategic approach to addressing the aspect of high water losses. And when it was conceptualized and initialized, it was agreed then that the program would be funded via revenue collection, a point which halfway had to change as corrected by National Treasury. The first phase, the recruitment, was through a wide advertisement, and as such, in phase one, most of the learners were recruited within Gauteng. But when we moved to the recruitment for the second phase in 2016, communication went through the offices of the premiers in all provinces such that they are partners as well in the recruitment process, and we also address the issue of the water leaks within those challenged areas as their provinces knew better which municipalities had needs compared to us. The project was planned to run over a five-year period with the three intakes. So far, we have managed to have two intakes, that is phase one and phase two, which meant that we should have a total of 10,000 learners. Because of the zigzags that the chairperson has been alluding to, which include, amongst others, financial constraints, we had to delay the uptake of phase three. And I will talk to that as well later on as to how we might try to look into it based on all the advice that we have been receiving from the different fora that we have been presenting at. Slide 11 talks to what, to the different categories of training, that is the water agents, what their role was and what they could have been trained in, and then artisans and plumbers. Safe to indicate that within the category of artisans and plumbers, we had quite a wide range. We had electrical, we had guys who were studying instrumentation, guys who were studying welding, machinery and fitting, and of course, plumbers. For today, I did not submit the statistics in terms of the divisions per program and per area of learning, as we normally do, because it's information that is there and that has not changed much, except for times whereby we do have attrition here and there, and then we start accounting accordingly. The first intake, as depicted by slide 12, was of 3,002 learners, and at that particular point in time, all the 3,002 undertook the entrepreneurship training that was provided in 2015. And as such, we also had to, through the EWC, to carry out a process of verification to ensure that all those 3,002 are able to get their certification. That has not been finalized as yet, but EWCTA is working earnestly to try and ensure that the certificates for entrepreneurship are awarded accordingly. Slide 13 is titled the National Progress Up to Date, that is phase one, and the registration status. As we moved into 2016, beginning of the year, so that the learners could now study. Some of them fell out of the program, hence the variation in figures from the 3,002, and we have a total of 2,559. We ended up, of course, with 910 water agents and 1,452 artisans as a result of some of the attritions that took place then. Out of the intake that we had, as depicted in slide 14, 910 water agents did complete. Out of the 1,452 artisans that were there, so far 579 have completed their trade test, and 386 are awaiting to write their trade test. In terms of phase two, although the recruitment figures also were higher than 7,000, as at the time of registration, we ended up with 6,785 learners, 3,727 were water agents, and 2,676 were artisans. I need to apologize upfront that in our submission we had not included a slide on the placement, which we thought that maybe you'd also be interested in. But safe to indicate that in terms of the placement of the learners for workplace learning, we are sitting at 92.7%, and 7% have not been placed. That is a total of 675 have not yet been placed. The challenge that we sit with, particularly in that particular area, is that these learners need to be placed in companies that have been accredited to offer the workplace training, because if we do not do that, then they are not going to be able to complete their training as per the requirements of the QTCO and the CETA. Slide 16 depicts the budget that was allocated to the rainwater. The split is according to the 5 years that were anticipated of us to work together in this particular partnership. The total was 2,102,000,000. Then similarly, 17 talks to the budget that was allocated to the CETA as well, which was 2,107,000,000. The expenditure as at the 3rd of December 2019 is as follows. A total of 2,813,000,000 has been spent on worn leaks. 1,635,000,000 to the CETA, and 1,177,000,000 to rainwater. In terms of what was budgeted for, then that leaves a balance of the figures in bold at the end of the table for each of the implementing agents, which we are monitoring very closely so that we do not find ourselves in a mode of any overdraft. The progress to date in terms of the learners. As indicated, most of the learners came from Gauteng, and particularly in phase one, most of them were electrical artisans. But when we moved into phase two, and having engaged the provinces, we also incorporated some learners who had not completed their training from other programs that were run by government. Those include the other one leaks that was run through the Department of Public Works. And as such, we found ourselves with learners that were able to complete their training quickly. So five electrical artisans, as we speak, are permanently employed in different companies in Gauteng. These learners, I have to indicate, they were from phase two, not from phase one, as I have just indicated as to how we did that particular intake. In listening to the advice that the committee has given to us, a technical task team has been established that is looking into how we can assist the learners into permanent employment, especially those that have completed their training, because the numbers are increasing. And the sole purpose, one of the sole purposes of the project, was to assist the youth that are unemployed. There has been engagement by this task team with the SANDF to see to it that there is collaboration in trying to get the learners not only to fix leaks, but also to grow in other disciplines. As you know, the youngsters have been very difficult to manage. Some of them need a lot of discipline, but also there are work opportunities in some of the other departments that could enhance their growth in life. The Water Research Commission has continuously reported on a new technology that they have been coming up with, and as such, we have set together, as they are part of those institutions that report to our minister, and we are looking at these technologies and seeing to it as to how we can assist in ensuring that they are implemented in some of the projects, especially those that fall within our ambit, with the hope of growth. But the whole approach is looking into aspects of creating enterprise, enterprise developments and cooperatives, whereby the youth would be part and parcel of those, and there would be mentoring from some of the well-learned individuals. We are also looking into other opportunities, because for one reason or the other, sometimes when you move, when you are steaming ahead, you tend to have a blind spot and you miss some areas of functionality within your particular area. That includes engaging ourselves individually to say, where are these opportunities? As government, we reside in buildings, and these buildings fall under the public works. And as such, we are saying, where can we create opportunities such that the youth are going to be able to participate and also be trained such that they also are able to get the kind of skills that they require? These include, of course, one of the areas that we are still also trying to look into, which is a plant that we do have as a department in Yankemdop that looks into the construction material and buildings, coming up with some of the construction material, e.g. our pipelines. So we are looking at trying to form those little enterprises.
Just repeat this part.
Which part? The Yankemdop one? We have a plant in Yankemdop, Chairperson, that is can build pipes which are used for bulk water transfer.
It can or is building?
It is. Yes, Chairperson.
It is manufacturing pipes.
Yes, Chairperson. So we want to see as to how best we can utilize some of these things that we have ourselves within the department. Hence, I was saying when I started that sometimes we tend to have blind spots and we miss out. And if we sit together and work as a team, then we can be more productive. I was also excited when you talked about two companies that have approached you and said that they can also assist in the training of learners. We have engaged some, and as you are aware, we had an interactive session in November as a sector, which included exhibitions, and from there we are looking at companies that could assist in terms of the reduction of leakages, while also taking in some of the learners under their ambit as part of assisting them with growing and developing their own businesses. And as such, on that chairperson, I would like to recommend, therefore, that before I sign off, apologies, phase three. Phase three, we have been listening to you. Phase three, currently, we have put it on hold because of the financial constraints that we have been talking about. And we have committed that taking it forward, it would be through a totally different model, whereby we would have the partnerships with some of the key institutions that are going to assist us to work better and utilize the resources better. And as such, we are investigating those opportunities with COGTA, although we haven't made that much of progress for us to be able to account or give you any progress in that particular area. As such, I would like to request the committee to take note of the progress made to date in the implementation of the War on Leaks project. Thank you, Chair.
Any concluding remarks? We're fine with that submission. It's okay.
Chairperson, we're fine with the with the presentation and the submission that we have put to the committee. Thanks.
How do we want to? There are two submissions, one on war on leaks and the other one on bucket eradication program. Maybe let's deal with this one, a specific one, and then we lay it to rest, and then later we come back on the bucket eradication. Okay, thanks, members. Nayo. We beg you. Mr. Mguni, noted Dr. Kabin, noted Mam Kaula, noted Mr. Hugh.
Yeah, Chairperson, I've decided to sit this side because I did not want to disturb you on that side. And most unfortunately, the minister then came, sat next to me and joined me. I don't know whether I will need a bouncer between me and him. When I punch, he does not punch back. That is a lighter note. You know, I wanted to find out. You know, when you look at the municipalities down there, you find that there are programs that have been running like this one. You see. Some may be running under the umbrella or something like MISA, something like that, if I'm not mistaken. How did the department, you see, ensure that there's right alignment between the two so that we ensure that, you know, there's no duplication. You see, this one does that one, what the same government, just separated by levels. And all of us wants to achieve one and the same thing, and these numbers might be, you see, adding value. How did you make sure, or how do you make sure that there's that alignment that I've spoken about earlier on? You spoke about expenditure here. you have spent on the war on leaks. How much was budgeted? Because you speak about, no, we did not want to go over the budget. How much was budgeted? And where was this budget located? Because I don't remember that we had the budget over the moon. But just take me through. Just take me through. You see, in the current form, because you remember we did ask numerous occasions, we asked you, amen, where are you going to take this money from? And then you will also remember we had a problem of you locating these item bondings on administration. I said, no, is it not poorly located? You see, if that's the case, where is it now? Where is it located as we're speaking now? This one, because we are spending as we're speaking. I know that we cannot stop this program already. You indicated last time that you cannot stop this program because it's already the learners are already there, and it can go to something irregular expenditure. I don't know what's the correct term. I'm not an accountant, but it can be wasteful expenditure if it can be stopped. You see, and then how do you ensure that there's funding for that one? And where do you get the funding? As we're speaking, you know, in January, early January, I tried to locate you. Hey, you are very difficult to be found. Very, very difficult to be found. I don't know, because sometimes, you know, now you know all our phone numbers. You know, Chair, we must keep on changing this phone number sometimes, or we must have one. You phone with the one that they know. They don't pick it up. Keeps on ringing. And people out there, they are asking us, and they believe that we are the ones who can give rightful answers as Parliament. I then wrote on a WhatsApp. I don't know whether you are in the WhatsApp, or if you are not in the WhatsApp, I then wrote in the WhatsApp. No. A person like myself, I know that my WhatsApp will be there. I will show you. And no one responded until the chair came back and responded again. You responded, chair. No. There's this thing, you see, there's this a move on my question. My question was based on the people who were not paid. They were the students, what? They were not paid. They were asking me. We did not get payments. Did not get payments for December and so forth. You see. And then I did not get the rightful answer. But I said, no, they are paid. But people kept on coming to me. They said, no, we're not paid. And I said, how long will it be? Because other members, honorable members, were asking us as members who are sitting in this committee. And if I say, I don't know, now I'm being reckless. How don't you know if you are in the same committee that you are supposed to be knowing? And then I think we've answered the issue of the usage of these learners that have been trained. Are you getting all the answers? The questions, madam? I don't see you writing. I want to see the pen dangling. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You know, the majority of them have not been placed. Who also called us? You know, these people, now technology, they have got everything. They will find our numbers. We are not placed. We promised that we are going to be placed. During the time of training, what's your planning? How do you plan? Because you know that you will be producing this number of learners. What's your plan? Because you must be having a plan. I would 910, I would 300, I would, that will be coming out in this period. And then using your own partnership, as you have indicated there, you try and plan to engage with them. Well, how do you plan? Because these people come now to us. Continue, we are just overseers over you. Nineveh are supposed to be placing those kids. Do you have any plan that you can show to us? You can provide us. No. Yes, the plan, we have spoken to this one. This one will be coming. You understand? Do you have a plan, a concrete plan, in read? Lastly, this public-private partnership we have spoken about, there you have spoken about the Department of, is it Public Works? That is still public. That is still public. Where is private? Where is private? I think in one of our meetings, I think it was 2016, 2017, after we came back from that note, that what was banned. What was it? You remember where the mines were saying they will assist us. I don't remember the date. Rustenburg. We indicated to the department that there are these mines who want to assist, you see, in whatever, in the refurbishment of infrastructure, in refurbishment of water leaks, and so forth and so forth. What is it? Because if you are still investigating the possibility, how do you investigate something that we have already spoken about? We have told you that there are these mines, and we are very specific. There are these mines who have indicated to us they want to work with municipalities, with you, including municipalities, but they don't want to give money. What did you do about those? Because once we give you information, Tina, we take as if, Nina, you will run with that information. That's what we know. You will run with that information, and you look at this thing. If you are saying you are now starting to investigate something that we have already told you, you are not good listeners. Thank you, Chairperson.
Dr. Kabini?
No, thanks very much, Chair, for the opportunity to speak, especially on this program. Chair, let me first indicate that this is a good program. But in the manner in which it's been driven is a problem. Because the input is good, but the output is not. Chairperson, the problem is this one. They wanted to make the good input by training more people, but they don't know.
Okay, can I disturb you, Dr. Kabini?
Okay.
My apologies, sir. Rand whatever thoughts are. By right, you are supposed to have heard a submission from the department, augmented by Rand Water and Energy and Water CETA. Energy and Water CETA had apologized. They did submit something in writing. it does have its own listening from what the department has given us. It would have been important that we get, you know, the CETA. Because they are the ones who are actually involved in the actual training, whether by way of monitoring or by way of inviting the trainers themselves. But on the part of Rainwater, Rainwater was keenly involved in this whole process. It can only make sense that Rainwater does before members engage with the inputs. Let's get to hear from Rainwater.
Good morning, Chairperson, morning, Minister, and committee members and colleagues. Chair, we assumed and we sent our input to the department, and we assumed that the for coordination, that the presentation being made by the department incorporates the information that Rainwater has provided, and should questions of members go deeper and touch on responsibilities of Rainwater, that we would then come in and supplement the answers. But if the committee chair would like us to make comments on the project itself, we can, from our point of view. But that's the assumption we moved from. I don't know if that's acceptable, or if you if the chairperson insists, we can make comments. We just don't want to repeat the same things that the department has said, because we sent our inputs to them to coordinate and incorporate into one.
Speaking on behalf of members, that makes sense. Are we fine, members? Okay, thanks for that explanation.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Dr. Kabini, sorry for having disturbed you.
No, Chair, no problem, Chair. I was just indicating that this program is a very good program, but the output of the program is a problematic. Why I'm saying this, it is because they are training more people without researching where are they going to place those people. That is a serious problem. You can't keep on training people without knowing exactly where are you going to take these people from. The challenge is the so-called aftercare program. You train individuals, but there is no aftercare. You only to find that those individuals will go for themselves, looking to be placed, without a monitoring of either of the trainees that have been trained. There are no people that are supporting these young learners. So this is a problem. So, in as far as this program is concerned, I think it lacks a research. It is a good program, but if a research can be made as to how many people do we need that will be able to be in this program, for what, for how many time, for how many people in the municipality, in the private sector, that one will assist us a great. But in this case, in my view, I didn't see that research. Hence, the question of the program was made. The challenge also is with the non-payment. You see, I don't know what is the problem with the payment. And then I don't know what is difficult to pay. Maybe we need to be given a clear indication as to what is these difficulties to pay individuals. Because when I work for a particular hour, for that particular hour I'll need a reimbursement. But in this case, I don't know what is the problem. Can I be clarified as to what is difficulties in paying these individuals? No, Jay, let me just leave it there for now. I'll come.
You want to come in now? Or okay.
Chairperson, I think the rainwater was is correct. I think we have treated it very, very well. But indeed, they will still have to emphasize, because we have what your roles and responsibility as EWES, EWSET, CETA, and Rainwater, under the umbrella of the Department of Water and Sanitation. Your role, as your responsibilities according to the to what we have, is that you have the role to do stakeholder engagement. You have the role to recruit. We have also the role to do the placement and employment for sustainability. So you have to emphasize on those issues, because the question that I ask are based on those things. While the department will be saying, but Nina, you are the catalyst, you are the people that directly dealing with those issues. That I wanted to emphasize that.
Okay, Mam Kaula.
Ngibonge Sihlalo. Nginibinga nona nonke. Sibonga nokuthi uNkulunkulu usigcinile sabuya kulo nyaka. Hayi, nami ngizoke ngisho ukuthi imnandi presentation yenu ngendlela eniyibeka ngayo hayi inhle impela, kodwa nginenkinga la Sihlalo wami. Nangokuthi ngicela ukubuza Sihlalo ukuthi ngabe labo mpompi beplastiki bayalungiseka uma bevuza na, first number one. Number two, ngabe impompi yensimbi ibiza malini uma ngabe ivuza? Ngibuza nombuzo ngoba isikhathi esiningi impompi ezivuzayo inkinga ukuthi abantu bakithi abasebenzi kanti impompi nje iyodwa iyadula. Ngiqonda ukuthi ompompi bebodwa babiza ngempela, ingakho ngifuna ukuthola incazelo. Okunye okunye nje engifuna ukubuza lana ke, mase sikhuluma ngokuqala ngokuqeqeshwa, uyabona le nto yokuqeqeshwa kwe-youth eningi enizositshela ngayo la. Mina ngizonitshela nje kucace ingoma endala esiyaziyo engawusizi ngalutho umphakathi phansi. Ngabe youth ethu iqashwe kagesi, umphakathi wethu awusizakali losumele la eParliament, ngoba labo bantu ekugcineni anibaqashi, niyabaqeqesha, nibaqeqesha, nibashiye kanjalo sebenayo yonke inhlobo yokwazi ukuthi kufanele mangabe bayo nkonkotha bankonkothe kanjani. Kuyimanje uthola ukuthi umuntu kwimithe yakhe eyi-1 useyishera nabantu abawu-4-5 kuyena kuze isikoleti esingaka ngenxa yalabantu enibaqeqeshayo ningabaqashi. Lo muntu ngoba usene-experience ufuna imali phela, usethatha umakhelwane ubalekela ukukhokhela amanzi njengoba sikhala ngemali nje kulo mnyango, ahambe uqasha lwa muntu, ahambe lo muntu amkonkothela amanzi angene kwakhe. Sinekweleto engaka nje eyibiza o-25,000 kuyaphezulu yingenxa yalabo bantu abangafuni ukukhokhela ingqalazinto through nina eniqeqeshe abantu. Akuhlukene nokuhamba uqeqeshe isigebengu, ekugcineni kusasa uzobusukhala ukuthi sihlushwa igebengu zibe yiqeqeshwe yinina. Okunye khona la ngithande khona mhlonishwa bami, ngiyakuthanda likomiti ngoba likhombisa ukuthi liyayazi le nto ethinta abantu phansi. Ifanise nale nto njengoba nithi kunala bantu enithi ba-maintain abahamba la emphakathini ukubheka amapayipi avuzayo, labo bantu abekho emphakathini. Must tell you the truth, instead of that kufika labantu engihlezi ngikhala ngabo Sihlalo, abafika ebusuku silele bezokwenza le nto yama-meter reading, bezofunda ama-meter. Labo bantu mabefunda lama-meter bayaqagela bayenakuya kuwona ama-meter, uthole ukuthi ba-estimator, babuye bazokupha ini imali ethandwa yibona. Umbuzo akangabuza la ngathi yini labantu besebenze ebusuku, nakhona uma uthi uyabona ucaba wabusazi noma yigebengu noma yintoni. Sibuya kulena-ke, yabona kuyimanje amamitha wonke emalokishini ayavuza. Avuza cha. Labantu wayini ngabaqasha? Umasipala yini yena ehluleka ukuqasha kabantu abazosebenza benze lo msebenzi? Ngibuyele kule iya labantu abaqeqeshwayo. Uyabona labantu enibaqeqeshayo? eThekwini khona icase ngiyabonga honorable Mnguni. Nami nginayo lo case yabantu abathi bebeqeqeshwe eThekwini beqeqeshelwa yona lo msebenzi abangakaze bayithola imali yabo. Akulokuthiwa bazoyithola bazoyithola. Laba bantu ngithemba ukuthi benzeni. Abasebenzi okuqala. Why niqeqesha abantu ningakezi kwakunani, ningenayo indawo yokubafaka bayosebenza. Nibaqeqeshela khona ukuthi bazobhizi bazolokhuza bazokonkothela emalokishini. Bankonkotha amamitha ethu. Ngiyacela mina ukuthi ngempela ake nithi mangabe kukhulunywa la ningajabuleli nje nini ukuthi nizopresenta la thina sihamba phansi siyaya kubantu siyazazi izinto hayi indaba nizofika lana nizocanga ukuthi thina nizofana nisishayashaye nje yabona inkinga yamanzi isho enkulu abanye baze bafika banqanyulelwa amanzi uthole ukuthi wena uma ukhokha ukhokhela wena amanzi ngapha eceleni sokuze isikweletu singako bashade na uthole umuzi nga-one. Enyangela uzibone sihlalo. Umzini owodwa ifika incwadi kabili. Isho i-amount ehlukene. So ngamanye amazwi mina ngihambisani nalento yenu nokuqeqesha abantu egcine nanibaqashe. Iy'nkinga zamanzi zinkulu futhi ziyaziya ngoba mo. Amamitha-ke nje ayavuza wonke emalokishini. And lento yenu ongafuni ukuthi umasipala abe accountable kulento yamanzi. Ibuhlungu. Mina nje angifuni ukuqamba amanga mina ayingiphathe into ngibangela okukhulu usizo ngoba sikhuluma ngempilo zabantu la sikhuluma ngamanzi. Nothi indaba ukuthi njengani nini present. Labantu siyabafuna kumanje. Sifuna amavoti kubona. Sizothini kubona thina? Bazositshela into eyi-one lo saqamba amanga nathi. No. Ngiyaxolisa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation as well. Chairperson, I've got a few questions that I would like to ask. What I would like to find out is that are these plastic taps repairable when they are leaking? Secondly, what I would like to know is how much does a steel tap cost? Because when it is leaking, you find that it is very expensive to buy this tap. Now, another problem that we are having is that our people are unemployed, and yet they have to buy these expensive taps. Coming to the issue of training of artisans, I just want to put it clear that our people do not benefit anything from these artisans. Now, my worry is that you train these people, but you do not employ them permanently. These people have skills, but they start to use them wrongly by connecting them in an illegal way. That is why you find that I end up paying or owing an amount of about 25,000 for water because these people are not used in a proper way. Why don't you employ these artisans permanently? Thank you very much, Honorable Mnguni, by highlighting the issue of these artisans in Durban who have been trained but they are not paid. Another point that I would also like to raise, Chairperson, is the issue of the meter readers. These meter readers, they just guess or they estimate the reading. Now, another problem is the issue of the very same meters. These meters are also leaking. Also, I would like to highlight the issue of these meter readers. Why do they read these meters at night? Good people, please don't be pleased by coming here to do the presentation, because one other problem that we have is that some houses get different bills for the very same house. Now why don't you involve the municipality in this? You are busy spoiling the whole thing. At the moment, as members of different political parties, we'll be going to these people to try to woo them to vote for us. But the problem is, these people won't be able to vote for us because of these problems that they are experiencing. Thank you very much.
Mr. Hugo.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question would be, does the department still owe the implementing agents like your rent, water for this program and your EWC? I remember in our last engagement, I don't know, should this program still reside with the Department of Water and Sanitation because of the issues that were highlighted by the AG's Office of Irregular and Wasteful Expenditure based on this program, because it is not in the AVP of the department? And secondly, on slide 20, the placement of worn leaks, they say they've got 5 electrical artisans out of, I don't know, 1,000-something that was placed. It seems that they are veering off from their objectives that were set there initially to go and fix leaks in terms of being placed in municipalities. Now it goes another route to say they will engage with the SANDF in terms of fixing leaks with the department's offices. Now it's something new that was not envisaged first when this program started. So I don't know if this program still needs to reside with Department of Water and Sanitation, or should it go to COCTA in terms of fixing the leakages at the different municipalities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, those are a few questions that members would have. again, the same issue going forward. What is the plan? We did submit a view in our committee last time that go out there and see as to how you collaborate with COCTA. Mr. Mguni is mentioning the fact that already COCTA through MISA is involved in such a similar exercise. A related question perhaps could be that of the placements. I hear you talking about private companies having placed some of your trained artisans. Yet this is a program to fix municipal infrastructure. Naturally, from where I'm seated, I would have thought that placements can only happen in a municipality. And perhaps another related question to that which should be the terms of such training, whether upon training being placed, anybody can simply just come in and snatch that artisan, or you have specific terms in a case of you being trained for 3 years, what's the word? Commensurate, you know, term should be applied. In other words, having to stay where you are placed for a similar, you know, train period. Now that would be the related question. I was listening to the department talking about the loss, the 37% loss of water amounting to what, 7.2 billion rand per annum. That is now the leakage of that water being 37%. Whether that figure still is the same or has it changed, what is the current state of affairs? I was also keen,
you know, to understand the modeling of the funding of such a program. Initially, you spoke of a revenue collection, whether that would have been talking about whatever work done in terms of minimizing such losses of leakages and thereof of loss of revenue, whether you were looking at whatever percentage that you limit on that being the actual cost, rather not cost, revenue that will then build in into your funding for such a program. I do hear that that has since been abandoned, having had a discussion with National Treasury. I was keen on that understanding of such a model that you would have, in the initial stages, you would have been thinking of. I'm also keen on the trade tests, because when we were interacting with some of these students, a number of them, they make a point that says, if we go on a trade test, it means the department, they are no longer a liability of the department. So they are all by themselves, because they shall be having, you know, that certification. And again, the point I was asking earlier on, what then happens, is that person then, you know, a free agent? Or will you still be able to say, no, finish all first? We gave you a three-year training or something to that effect. Therefore, aligned to that should be that period of training that is to be allowed as you are placed wherever you shall be placed. I would have been interested in those and again, the earlier point I was raising about the future of this program, it talks to the budget itself. It started off first, Minister, from having had this kind of a program, having no appearance at all in any of your annual performance plan. Later, it got to be in the annual performance plan, but without any budget. Now, this is a program that continues. The President spoke about it in the State of the Nation address in the previous year. This time around, a commitment having been made by the department that this program must continue, otherwise it shall constitute an irregular expenditure. What is the future plan come 2019-2020 in terms of budget? Minister, and your team.
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, the stipends were
Minister, and your team.
No, I have nothing to say yet, Chair. Let them say, let them respond. I'm happy that she does.
Thank you, Minister. Chair, in responding to the issue of the stipends, indeed the stipends were delayed in paying in December, but currently as we speak, there are no outstanding payments in relation to the stipends. And going forward, Chair, in relation to the issue of the budget and how to make the payments in going forward, We as an organization, together with the Rainwater, as part of the team, we are still committed to ensure that the project is completed and the program is completed with the students achieving the qualifications that has been agreed upon. There's, in consultation with the department, the discussion, the decision was taken by Rainwater that any monies that are owed to the department will be then set off in order to make the in order to make the payments and ensure that all the payments are made towards the stipends. With regard to the question relating to how much is still to be paid for this financial year, the projection for the financial year is 572.6 million that is still to be paid for this current year. And going forward, indeed, the program was in program one, but due the in the adjustment of the APP, the program now is sitting in program three, with the intention that the budget will come from the operation and maintenance in program three, and that will be incorporated in the in that budget of the operation and maintenance. There are some questions, Chair, that were directed to our colleagues, Rainwater. I will at this stage request them to come in and fill in some of the questions. And some of the questions that were, I would request Ms. Mohapi to assist on in relation to the collaboration with COGTA, because indeed there was the discussion between ourselves and Rainwater, because we have consulted National Treasury, and National Treasury had referred us to COGTA, and we have those discussions between COGTA and ourselves. And going back on the issue of the funding model and the revenue, the initial, yes, indeed, the funding was going to come from the surplus from the department, from the trading, but based on the advice from the National Treasurer that we cannot use that money, then that's why then the money could not be used from the revenue pool. Check. I'll request our colleagues, Rainwater and Ms. Mohapi, to fill in some of the questions that have been raised.
Thank you, COO. I did listen attentively. In order to answer the question raised by Mr. Mguni, and the very same question as well has been raised by Dr. Kabine, as to how the municipalities were not involved. In phase two, we were trying to correct that when the communication went through the provinces. The provinces are the ones that identified the municipalities that would be in need of the assistance. They are the ones that were involved in the recruitment of learners within those particular areas. And they had allocation for the different municipal areas under their jurisdiction. We were trying to avert a situation whereby we would find that when we come to the time of placement, as rightly said, that this project was meant to alleviate water losses within the municipal sector, then they would end up being the beneficiary. Because from phase one, we had already picked up some of these cracks, which I had indicated that it was done through a generic advertisement. In phase one, we had already picked up that when we tried to place the learners for training, workplace training, some of the municipalities would say that they would not take them because they do not come from their particular areas. We were trying to avert that. But unfortunately, there have been challenges as well, despite us changing the approach to try and involve them in the recruitment process. Hence now, we are moving on to try and involve MISA and COGTA, particularly because we are seeing that it's not working okay. I will raise some of the challenges that we have had because we also have provincial steering committees for the project where we used to sit. You would find that the municipalities themselves would indicate that they do not have vehicles to be able to take the learners to some of the problem areas that need attention, like where they know there are leaks and whatever. They don't have enough vehicles, they don't have enough, you know, resources, things of that sort. So there have been a collaboration and reporting back, but some of the challenges are way beyond the scope of this particular project. That is one of the questions, I think, that kept on coming up quite a few times. And then one of the other, Mefunda Kubi has talked to the conceptualization in terms of the funding and how we had proposed, which also has come up quite a few times. Umam Kaula has asked us about the prices of some of the taps. Your steel pipes cost about 100 rand per steel pipe, and your plastic pipes cost about 60 rand, 66, taps, sorry, cost about 66 rand per tap. I don't think we can be able to stop a leak from a plastic tap. We might have to replace that particular tap, because of the nature of how plastic it's like and the fact that it melts and then it also shrinks. So that would be really a challenge. And most of the questions Mam Kaula raised are more questions that have to do with operations, specifically at municipal level. And I concur with her. It would be quite opportune to get at one stage or the other the municipalities to account on the water losses and the improvements, if there are any, especially in their areas of jurisdiction. I have to indicate, Chair, that in some of the instances, some of the municipalities were not upfront to indicate that they had been training learners on war on leaks. We picked up some of those cases as well on TV, because they were being labeled as processes of the department, and we were lost a bit. We found ourselves lost. So, in the true sense of the matter, some of them did go on to those initiatives, and we are not in a position to account as to how they went, because they were doing those projects solo. Babu Mguni, unfortunately, I really do not have your number, but I think we can discuss the matter after the meeting. I apologize for that. I worked throughout the festive season. I only went on leave on the 21st of January. I didn't take a break during December time. Hence, I disappeared out of the radar screen for the latter part of January, but not before then. So, but we will sort that particular matter out. I wasn't avoiding you at all. But safe to indicate that we receive a lot of calls as ourselves and WhatsApp messages from the learners, especially during the times whereby we have had delays in payment. And as such, to avoid sometimes going home hurt or crying, I tend not to take numbers that I do not know, because the language that comes out of those calls is really not palatable. The Rainwater colleagues will attest to that, including the messages that come out from Facebook. They are really not, they include threats. So, yeah, we have to adopt certain skills to deal with some of the missiles that come our way. There are questions that have been raised in terms of our planning to go forward on one leaks. We've indicated that we cannot engage on phase three the way we have been, or the way we have operated phase one or two, because if we really moved on this way, it would mean that we are not listening. And it would mean that we are not prepared, you know, to make things better. that collaboration with the relevant key stakeholders, your department, COCTA and MISA, is critical, and that is what we are working on. Babu Mguni, you raised an issue around the slide that talks to PPPs and DPW. Maybe I just need to demystify that particular part. By PPPs, I did not mean that DPW is the private partner. DPW is still government, but they are the custodians of most government buildings. The private companies are the ones that are going to come up with the technology that would assist us in detecting leakages, and then assist us in terms of training of some of the learners and absorbing them as part of whatever agreement that we are trying to look into currently. And yes, I would also like to engage you further in terms of the mining houses that you have been referring to, and maybe those other private companies could be companies that we have not engaged as yet, because I think we all meet with different people at different times. Finances, I am sure at a later stage the acting CFO will talk to the issues around how do we go forward as far as that is concerned.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was a question, Chairperson, around the funding of the program. The department, during the budget speech last year, indicated that we were having accruals and payables to the value of, I think it's 2 billion. Which included, amongst others, the own leaks invoices. And the commitment made to through that budget policy speech was that all those invoices will be honored, and the department will reprioritize the budget in order to ensure that we meet those obligations. The biggest challenge, Chairperson, being that the program, when it started, there were multi-year commitments made. And we find ourselves in a situation where it is unavoidable that we have to honor those invoices and remaining contractual balances. So we approached Parliament through National Treasury, wherein we requested vehemence above 8% in terms of the PFMA. Parliament approved. We went also to SCOA. 405 million to be moved from Program 1, Administration, Program 2, and Program 4. However, National Treasury did not recommend the environment of savings from COE. We projected savings of 114 million for reasons that were submitted to Treasury, which included the review of the structure of the department, vacant posts. So that was not supported. So the 114 million was also meant to augment and try to honor the commitment made through the budget policy speech. Now, the other amendment which was made was to move the program, as COO has indicated, from administration to infrastructure program 3, under sub-program Accelerated Community Infrastructure Program, ACIP. When we, as a department, moved the targets as well as the budget and expenditure to Program 3, there were also inherent limitations in that some of the, a bulk of the budget under Program 3 is earmarked, and we could not unlock those funds to augment the projected deficit after applying the vehemence. Currently, we are sitting with overspending on goods and services under Program 3 as a result of these payments that the department has made. There are also invoices, Chairperson, that are on slide 19. They were presented earlier on to Randota and EW CETA. The department engaged National Treasury. There was a correspondence between the department and Treasury about around how we should be resolving these commitments which we are unable to avoid. The payments are in the process of being approved. However, as I've indicated, there is an inherent challenge that the budget that is currently remaining, the possible surplus, is locked in some of the grants. So as much as we might not overspend on a program or the vote of the department, we will have overspending under goods and services as we close the financial year. We are currently also, as a department, reviewing now, that is for the 1920 financial year, to try and identify possible early reprioritization that was done during the strategic planning session to find out if to try and allocate money within some of these non-essential services to make provision for 1920, where it is projected that, 245 million will be required to conclude the phases that my colleagues referred to. And as I said, there are engagements with National Treasury. There was a recommendation that COCTA be engaged, and there are these engagements with National Treasury, I'm definitely sure, Chairperson, because I was there, but there was also further recommendation that we engage also COCTA to see where they can assist. So that is where the budget for this year is. There is definitely overspending under goods and services that the department is unavoidable. All avenues have been exhausted. The department came to Parliament to request amendments. They were approved up until those limits that funds could be made available. And currently, Chairperson, it is impossible to really bring the department to a halt. There are crucial services that we have to honor. We have to pay for rental, security, and all those. But other services that are considered not to be essential, definitely those have been minimized, your cost containment items. So in a nutshell, Chairperson, we have made provision. We'll honor those invoices as it has been indicated that we clear the accruals, and provision to the extent that is possible will be made for 1920 out of the ENE that will be approved now by the minister. Thank you.
Did we hear? Do we understand? Did we hear English? By now, Minister, the budget is almost concluded upon, as we speak, all the processes. Budget Council shall have met, and all what it takes to say from departments. In effect, that entire cycle, it's a continuous cycle. We are now almost at the end of your MTF, medium-term expenditure framework. We are now starting a new 2019-2024 cycle that shall talk to all those multi-year commitments that you are talking about, sir. Now, as we speak, the question that we've always been having, I hear you talking about, firstly, the environments that whose processes needed approval by Parliament until you had to search for some Peter somewhere. And that Peter became your goods and services within Program 3. Hence your overspend. And effectively, this is an area initially you were looking at what, Program 1, for areas where there is underspending. Until you found in Program 3 those goods and services. Now, these are commitments, am I right or wrong?
Yes, we're honoring commitments, Chairperson.
Uh-huh.
The moving of funds from the other programs, including Program 3, were meant to honor the commitments.
Mm-hmm.
So the funds were moved from the other three programs into Program 3, where the decision was made to move this one next Program 2, so that both the budget and the targets are in the correct program of the department.
We are now going to go for for budget 2019-2020, and your MTF 2019-2024, right? To an extent, these questions are still arise. For all intents and purposes, we are effectively talking here about an unfunded mandate. You want to comment on that, Minister? Can we allow Mrs. Makhabane?
Thanks, Chair. I think it will assist that the Minister can also respond into it. I wasn't happy about the responses that we got from the department. I think it's two things. One is about the calls. She did mention that if I don't know the number, I don't respond. It doesn't sit with me well. If you're working in a high office, when you receive calls that you don't have in your phone as your contacts, you don't respond to them. You don't know that person, you don't know the agency of the matter the person is bringing, but you just leave it like that. And it happened not to her only. I think what Honorable Mngoni talked about before, I also did during the holidays. I called, I even wrote a message. I don't know whether the CFO didn't receive the message. After getting pressure from some other people who were saying we're not getting paid, what is it that is happening in the department? I wanted to get an answer from him, but he didn't bother to respond. So I don't know how they are going to work. That is why I said maybe the minister can assist, because I think this need to be attended to. I don't think it's correct really to say that I don't answer or I don't respond to the calls which I don't have or which I don't know. The second one is the issue of the plastic tabs that Ms. Honorable Kaula did ask about. Why is the department preferring to have the plastic tabs or appointing the contractors that are going to use the plastic tabs, meaning knowing that the plastic tabs is irreparable? I heard the prices, the 66 rands and the 100 rand. To me, the difference is 34 rand. Do you think taking the one of 100 rand and stay for a long period and putting the 66 rand and just keep on replacing, which one is cheaper for the department? Thanks, Chair.
Mam Kaula.
Ngibonge sihlalo. Okunye nje ngithi umhlonishwa wami lo ngemvume yakho sihlalo angisase ngidlulise yoba sisho ukuthi sisemehlweni abantu laphana eward 44 lokhu ward 44 engcungcwini ngasenanda kunomphakathi lapha ebubhikishela umgwaqo namapothole ngabe niyakwazi ukuthi iyinkinga eyingaka sala maphothola agcina selimeza umgwaqo ilamanzi othola ukuthi ayavuza avuzela emgwaqeni angalungiswa laphana nje abantu bakhona from 2017 bathi amanzi abanawo abawazi kodwa idame bayalibuka lapha ezansi inanda dam inkinga ekhona laphaya lowamphakathi akufiki ngisho ivaterkan. Umbuzo wami-ke ngifuna ukwazi laba bantu ngempela okuyibona bona ngabe bakhona bayalungisa la mapayipi bakuphi makunjalo amanzi nje nginawo ngisho nalana ngabe ngiye kuwona lo mphakathi amanzi ayageleza sihlalo ungageza ngisho kuwona kodwa abantu abanawo amanzi kanjalo nase 100 kwa-K Mlaz okunye khona ngakhala ngakhulu la sihlalo sami eward 54 ngakhala ngokuthi ngiyakulabantu njalo enithi bakhona abaqeqeshwayo nalabantu bamathenda ukuthi bona abanayo le fiye thina esinawo njengeportfolio committee lapha yangakhala ngokuthi kunale kuneswa pipe thotho kune manhole lema manhole akho umuntu owamaintaina ukuwabheka ukuthi asebenza kahle ngangokuthi ngezazi uthole ukuthi indle ichitheke emzini yabantu iyanuka njalo uma uthi uthi uyabheka lapha ngathola ukuthi kune-manhole evulekile isivalo sakhona ngafona mhlambe 3 times ngifonela umasipala wabaletha abantu ma befika labantu bafika behluleka okokuqala bahamba baphinde bahluleka kwesibili ekugcineni bagcina sebefika ne-truck lena efaka something ipayipe lokuhlola ukuthi kwenzakala bathi there is something lapha ngaphakathi abathi uma bedlokodla ibuyele emuva kwathola ukuthi ngikhona ekhaya that's why ngiye ngibuye njalo ngo-6 Monday ngoba ngisuke ngifuna ukubona ukuthi everything ihamba kahle ngizokhuluma into engiyaziyo ma sengifika lapha yase ngisebenza nathi no ngizocela ukuthi ke silandele yonke le ndawo siye phezulu lapha kunestamkokho i-manhole vulekile ma ivulekile le manhole abantu asithi-ke bahlabile bajikutshele iy'khumba phakathi yonke into mhlawumbe even nabantu bakhona lapha bayiklina ngathi ngicela ukuyibona ikliniwe-ke bamemeza bafika imoto i-truck lehamba lento ngathi ithaki ingathi ithanki bazame ukuyidlokodla kugcina sebethe kuphumile mnangekho-ke ekugcineni into eyenzakalayo lesi sivala le manhole sihlalwa bayivale because into engiyibukayo ibuyela kule nto ukuthi uyabona laba bantu abangaqashiwe permanent sinenkinga nabo as thina as a member of parliament as a government bona benza sure ukucreate umsebenzi angithi benzela khona ukuthi baphinde futhi abantu bezokwenza same thing la kuze baphinde benze njani babuye beze la namanje njengoba ngikhuluma ngalo lesitamkoko sinjani sikhamisile ezinye izinto lezi ukuthi bafethe sithi masikhuluma la sikhulume ngezinto esizaziyo ukuthi ngempela sizolutshela ikomiti ngabe nitshela into lithi yenze noma nenilalela umasipala nje ethi umasipala hhayi thina senza ukuthi o-clean audit nize nijabule kudliwa imali lapha yabona lento yamathenda ingakho ngisho ukuthi I hate into yamathenda because abantu bamathenda abanandaba nomphakathi bona bacabangela ukuthi fike baphinde babuye bazosebenza minister yabona njengoba ngikhuluma nawe mina unganginika nango umhlonishwa uDubusana ngithi uthi ahambe nami uyobuya encamile anginaso isikhathi sokuza la ngizokhuluma into engekho ngoba ngicabangela abantu ngicabangela ukuthi sisukaphi salwa silwela lelizwe ukubona abantu bakithi bekhululeka ngo-94 sasingazi ukuthi koze kushaye lesikhathi sinalezi nkinga esinazo yingakho ngiye ngisho ukuthi kungcono ngenani khulunywa ukuthi nje labantu abathi abalo bereporta manga ake befundwe manje ukuthi nibashatshe ukuthi masipala uhlezi usitshela ukuthi nokuthi nokuthi but baza kwenzeki ibhlungu into eyenzekalayo emphakathini wakithi ngiyabonga minister esihlala
ngibonga
chairperson thank you very much for giving me this the permission to say this firstly I'll stick to ward 44 in Inanda the area of Ncongweni there the taps and pipes are leaking heavily but the community members have no water but there is a dam nearby almost the whole of eThekwini even in Mlazi pipes are leaking this has been happening since 2017 my question is where are these artisans to do and fix to do the job or to fix all this situation secondly in ward 100 in section K in Umlazi in the area of Engonyameni pipes are also leaking people have no water there in ward 54 I've been reporting this now and again there is a manhole that is open this manhole has been repeatedly reported but the municipality has never closed it sometimes one man will come try to do some maintenance but they leave it open the feces are leaking and flowing to other areas I always check this every Monday. I give myself time to do this. People throw everything in this manhole, and they, at the end, even if it has been repaired, they don't close this manhole. These unemployed artisans do these things intentionally so that they come and repair this, but not doing the good job. This tender system is not good at all, according to me. I work for the communities where I stay, but we still have a lot of problems. Municipalities are not helping us at all. Thank you, Chairperson.
Members, we are about to close on this one. We've taken more time. If you can also attempt to be more focused on the issues we are dealing with. War on leaks, yes, there are others that are related. So that we also save time. If we do have other issues, let us forward those directly to the department that deal with specifics. Mr. Mguni, you are about to leave for another meeting. Point taken, and then I would imagine you want to say your last point.
Chairperson, you know, I wanted to hear from Renwater. We cannot keep on putting them aside. They are here to say something on these institutional arrangements. You understand? You know, Mohapi, when we are recruiting, we are put in a position of telling those we are recruiting and are doing the selection to indicate, to say, these are the conditions of the recruitment. You are going to be recruited, get in. After that, we are going to place you, what. If they can even say that, you see. Because what happens is, we are, as a committee, we are appointed as people who are not doing their job. That you come here, tell us this will be happening. And then after some time, that does not happen. Because the department did not do what they told them either. Because once you commit, that committee even comes to us as parliament. No, the parliament knows they are your commitment. You understand? Just imagine that you are told that after a month you are going to get a salary and you are not paid. What will happen to you? You will run to the court. Once these people of recruitment are recruited, they are told
after being trained, you are going to be placed and they are not placed. They come to us. If you, they fail to you, they will then come to us as public representative. We are not working, Nini. We are not doing this thing. You are telling us lies. We are not doing this. But I would love that the Rainwater does the same. Does the same thing. Let them give, have a bite on this, on these responsibilities as your mouthpiece. Thank you very much.
You are instructed, Julie. The whip has to go for Chief Whip's meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. And a number of questions have been raised that refer very much to the needs analysis of the program, Chairperson, because a lot of questions have been asked about what are you training these young people for if at the end of the training you cannot place them. And there's a very important question there that even though Ms. Mohapi has answered, perhaps we can add and emphasize. If you look at why the project was introduced, reference has been made this morning to the 7 billion worth of water losses. These water losses have been spoken about in the AG's report and quantified to this amount of money. They were discussed in Water Research Commission.
So sorry, is that figure still the same?
That is an old figure, Chairperson. I don't have a latest. It's probably worse from our experience in our area of operation that we can speak to, because we're seeing the problem worsening. And that problem, the causes of it are a myriad number of issues, including skills and vacancies, which is why a training program was introduced. But other causes include aging infrastructure, conditions of infrastructure, lack of maintenance of infrastructure, and just operational problems at municipal level, because most of the water is lost in the municipal system, not in the other parts of the value chain. So the need is overwhelming, and we would argue that the need continues for the country to address the issue of skills, to address the question of leaks, because it's a contributing factor. Many of the, especially the municipalities where the losses are the worst, also have the least technical capability and the least strengthened technical departments to be able to take care of these issues. And therefore, in the second phase, as Ms. Mohapi has said, the recruitment, if you take the map of the country and you take, you plot the water losses, we try to make sure that the recruitment matches or supports the learners coming predominantly from the areas where the water losses are strongest. That was the effort in order to meet that objective. Unfortunately, those very municipalities where the need is the greatest have been the municipalities that have been largely unable to come to the party in terms of placing learners for work-placed integrated learning. Some of them, for reasons she has mentioned, such as they would cite things like they don't have cars to take learners to the sites where they would have to go and do the practical work to meet the appropriate accredited learning program. Because even when you are in the workplace part of the training must meet certain objectives. You must have a mentor who themselves is qualified. You must have certain number of hours that you fulfill on the job practicing the skill for which you're being trained. And the municipalities have been unable to do that. The second leg, which is the long-term placement, is where it was anticipated that because these municipalities need these skills, when the learners have completed their training, they would take them on as employees of the municipality to capacitate the technical departments where we have already said the strength wasn't there, and therefore they couldn't deal with the leaks because they didn't have the technical capacity. Again, unfortunately, these municipalities have not been able to absorb the learners that have qualified as permanent employees and capacitate their technical departments. And that's the second part. So when we talk about placement, we need to think about it in two ways. One is the work integrated learning when you're still in the program being trained. The other one is after you've completed the training and you now need to find employment. And some of them have cited things such as they don't have budget to employ them, they didn't plan for them, and therefore the learners that have completed are being lost to those municipalities, even if they come from those same municipalities and would have liked to go and work at those municipalities. And that is why, as the committee itself has pointed out and as discussions with the department and inputs of the department have pointed out, the participation of COCTA and municipalities in this arrangement is critical because it might help to solve that issue. And then the other thing perhaps, Chairperson, that I can say is that, yes, there were problems with non-payment of stipends towards the end of the year because we did experience problems with receiving payment ourselves. And at some point, Randwater, in fact, had to, make payments on behalf of the department. And as this present juncture, Randwater is owed just over 200 million. And we are in discussion with the department as has already been mentioned, about offsetting what we are owed from the real water costs that we pay to the department on a monthly basis so that we can deal with this debt that has accumulated in this way and to make sure that there aren't further delays in the project that are caused by non-payment. And then, yes, although the project may not have been designed with a big strength of aftercare, as has been mentioned, which has led to the learners not being placed in for permanent employment, that I think also is being addressed by the department and has been articulated in terms of the technical team that has been set up and that are looking at various methods of placing the learners. The placement will go over and beyond municipalities and look at other areas of government as well to make sure that the learners are not idle and that the training is not in vain. I don't know if members of the Rainwater Technical Team, Chairperson, if you'll allow them, if they have something also to add to what I've already said. So those would be the points we would want to emphasize, Chairperson. And I don't know if there's anything else specifically that perhaps the committee would like us to speak on.
Is that the new language?
No, Chair, just in terms of the new language, from the technical, my name is Sipho Musa, I'm the acting chief executive of Rainwater. From our side, I think the chairperson has covered everything, and that is why the new language. Perhaps, if I may say, in terms of the role and responsibility with regards to Ndadem Guni's questions, yes, our role includes that of stakeholder engagement, and we have indeed engaged COCTA extensively. And the municipality. So from where we're sitting, by and large, we did not go on our way to recruit all of these students, if you like, for the sake of doing it. We involved and made sure as part of our responsibility that they indeed become part of the process of ensuring that when they're trained, they've been taken over, as the chair indicates, with respect to the second part of the placement. Yes, from our role and responsibility, we do training, recruitment, and selection, payroll. So yes, from that point of view, if they are not paid, the point of call is to say, Renota, why have you not paid us? And as we have indicated, the challenges have been, we can't pay if you're not paid. And we have not been paid for months now, and to an extent where we also robbed Peter to pay Paul, and Paul being the students, just to ensure that students and the service providers, small, medium, micro enterprises, are actually paid, because they also suffer if they're not paid. because we are not paid. So training, trainee payroll, it's also part of our responsibility. And the challenges that you as the committee have been experiencing where students have not been paid is precisely because you can't pay if you're not getting paid. The chair has indicated that we are also in engagement with National Treasury to implement the suggestion that has been put before us by the department to see if we can offset what is owed by us for the historical debt and the current payments from the raw water tariff that we pay the department on time and promptly. So the National Treasury has said they will come back to us to advise us from compliance point of view if we can or should be doing that. So we await their feedback anytime soon. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I'm thinking of this Peter. Everyone is robbing Peter. He must be bankrupt now.
Maybe as you respond, Minister, if you can also assist us with one simple question as to what will it take for the department to collaborate with COCTA in this program? This is something that we spoke about. This is something that the department keeps talking to us about. This is municipal infrastructure that you want to save. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. We have discussed after the meeting that was held between officials and Treasury. We discussed this matter with the DG of National Treasury. The DG of National Treasury correctly was opposed to funds which were budgeted for filling vacant posts to be used for this purpose. I agreed with the DG because I had already asked the department to give me a briefing about the extent to which, these vacant posts, what is the extent of those vacant posts, etc. Because at Scopa it was very clear, and correctly so again, that it was unacceptable that our department would have money to fill posts, but it has not been doing that. So Treasury was clear on that, and I supported the DG on that. We then agreed with the DG that if we were to drop this program now, it would be wasteful and fruitless expenditure, because we've already spent more than 2 billion rands, it's about 2.6 as it were. So we agreed that what we should do is to regularize it for the next financial year. So now I've asked the team, Paul, where's Paul? Oh yeah, he was on leave at the time, France, that we should draft a memorandum, because it's going to be a joint memorandum between ourselves and National Treasury going to cabinet, just to formalize the fact that we must spend money now that we don't have, but in the next financial year we have to budget for it. So we thought we should formalize that. That's what we agreed to, because I don't want to compromise Treasury either. But when we came in, we put together a joint technical team with Treasury to look at all the problems, the financial problems, so that we can correct them. So that's where we are. We as soon as we get the joint memorandum, go through cabinet, and just to request cabinet to approve the fact that we'll spend the money, because we cannot drop the program, and then we'll regularize it for 2019-20. We agreed on that. That's the route we're going to follow. On the broad challenge, I find that honorable members, some honourable members are asking us to do things which, in terms of the model, in terms of the law, they do not belong to us. You know, a lot of the things that have been said here about leaking pipes here and there and all of these things, they belong to water services authorities, which are municipalities, whether district or local, not the Department of Water and Sanitation. Yes, we are the custodians of water in South Africa. I wish the honorable members heard what I'm saying, because they have been raising the matter, and they are in conversation down there. Let me repeat it, therefore, Chair, for the benefit of the honorable members who had asked the question. I am saying, Chair, that water services authorities are municipalities in our model of delivery of water. So these problems that were raised by the honorable members, leaking pipe here, leaking pipe there, and all of this thing, there's water in under them, but there's no water in the that reaches households. It is a model issue. We are not responsible for that. We are responsible for bulk infrastructure, and the bulk infrastructure has not been extended. This is a matter now that we have asked the president and government to look at. It has not extended to what I would then refer to as the bulk pipeline and the reservoirs and wastewater treatment works. So the reticulation and distribution are the responsibility of municipalities in terms of the delivery model. So that is one of the reasons why on Friday we're having this meeting with water services authorities, so that we can have them support the requests that we've made. To say we would like to, even if the model hasn't been changed, because it would take time to amend the legislation, Water Services Act, that we should be allowed and agree with municipalities who are water services authorities to work together, so that we can then, here's in under them, let's all agree to work together, so that they don't say to us, no, 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 this is my responsibility. And the reason they would say that is because there would be these regional bulk infrastructure grants. Those grants that are coming from Treasury, Schedule 5B, for example, it goes straight to them. And we do not have the authority to even make them account for the money. So it is a big challenge in terms of the model of water services delivery. So, but we do have some authority with regards to Schedule 6B, and we can leverage that out and use that. But mainly it is the agreement with the Water Services Authority that would allow us to do work. That is the approach we are adopting. For example, in Giani, that's the approach I have adopted. I've just agreed with the district municipality, which is a service delivery authority, Water Services Authority, agreed with them, and that we work together, and then we lead the process so that we can build the pipeline, we build the reservoir and wastewater treatment works, etc., including the things that are now priority in terms of the bore water, boreholes, etc. So those are all not our responsibilities in terms of the model of service delivery of water in South Africa. So I have proposed, therefore, to the president in writing that let us be allowed to extend the definition of bulk to include the bulk pipeline, the reservoir, and wastewater treatment works. However, the debate now that is raging here correctly is one of leaks, for example. It's just a small example. Then, if you take what Randwater did in Fule, Randwater can speak better about it. They had given Mfuleni, I think, four technical people when I think Sipo, if I remember well, said to these are officials who are going to operate and maintain your infrastructure. It didn't last. They are not there now. And Fulin doesn't have these officials, which they were given by Rand Water. They're not there. As a result, operation and maintenance is Dololo. And that's where we have a problem. In these municipalities, we go to any other municipality that has problems that have been described here. The problem is operation and maintenance. Therefore, there is a big case for the war on leaks story. And I think as long as we could agree with what I said, this is one of the topics we want to discuss on Friday, this coming Friday with them, to say there are these young people who are out there, they are trained, some of them have written exams, got certificates, and therefore, please, let's look at whether or not, or how we could get them to do the work that is sorely needed out there to reduce, if not obliterate, the non-revenue water. So this matter is a model issue, and we have requested that we do that together with COCTA. So COCTA would have a big role. That the president announced in the House that there will be established an intergovernmental rapid response technical team. The president did announce on that during the State of the Nation address. That is our proposal. It is a proposal we made that we should establish that in order to deal with the model weakness before you can change the law and all of that, so that practically we can then, together with municipalities, with provinces and COCTA, could work together to deal with these problems which are pressing on our people. So that is our proposal, that model, and rather that with the president announced a rapid response technical team. We have then also proposed that MISA should actually be the financial manager in terms of the RBICs, the regional bulk infrastructure grants, so that you don't get a situation where they go to municipalities, they don't have the capacity. If MISA could be that, and then appoint DBSA, for example, to a program manager. We've appointed DBSA to be program manager in Guyana, for example, so that whilst the construction unit of the department, which we want to use as well, utilize as well in these situations, as we're doing there now, including for bucket eradication, by the way, program, to utilize the construction unit of the department, so that we reduce costs as well as we do so, because we manufacture the equipment in Jan Kemdor, where we have the manufacturing plant. We can source those there at less price than we're doing at the moment, and have an expansive program that runs across the country rather than small or a few municipalities, etc. So that I'm talking about the model, to say if we could then agree with municipalities, as we're beginning to do now with a lot of these municipalities, which are water services authorities, and therefore the role of the water board is going to be critical as implementing agents in this thing. So those things we're dealing with those things and those service delivery model issues that are constraining the rapid implementation of programs that we're talking about here. Chair, thanks very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, even before the Minister became responsible for water and sanitation, we had numerous discussions in this portfolio committee with the department and a previous minister. This project, this war on leak project, does not fit in with water and sanitation. It should be a project that is implemented, managed, controlled by COCTA. We've got no direct influence with municipalities concerning the infrastructure, but COCTA they do have. Now we've spent 2 billion rand, as the minister indicated, on war on leaks. The mere fact is that, like Rand Water said, the 7 billion rand water losses, it could be 8 billion, it could be 10 billion, we won't know.
The fact is nobody can tell us. We have trained we've trained so many people, it cost us 2 billion rand, but we brought down the water losses from 7 billion or 8 billion to 6 billion. It's not happening. You can train people and you can place them with municipalities. What will happen? Those people will sit in the offices doing nothing. Why? The municipalities don't have the money to kickstart projects to rectify or fix their water infrastructure. And if we can't start there, where COCTA make money available, whether it's DBSA or grants, to make sure that that money goes into infrastructure to rectify our water reticulation, it's not going to help us anything. We'll sit here next year, we'll train another amount of people, and we don't know where to utilize those people. Now, it's good to train people. I agree with that. But those people that are trained must be utilized in the sector where they were trained. It doesn't help us to train people, send them home, and now they sit and wait for someone to come and say, all right, now you've got a job in this municipality, and you're gonna use your expertise, which we've trained you in, to assist the water losses. This thing is totally wrong way around. And Chair, this was a political decision by the previous president. I was there in Port Elizabeth. It was just before the election. And now we still sit with a situation like the minister said. The fact is that it's not been budgeted for. Now, minister, you're gonna budget for it for the next year. What happened to all these students that have been trained? Shouldn't we now stop the training for now, utilize that money, make sure that we can implement, send these people into the top worst 20 municipalities in the country, utilize that money and make sure that they can fix the infrastructure so that in the next financial year, if you want to keep it on the program, then say, all right, I need to train more people. Then you start to train again. Because we are just training people. It's a waste of money. It's expertise for those people, which I'm glad for. But in the water sector, it doesn't mean us anything training people and we can't use them. So I really think, Minister, that I really think COCTA is the culprit in this whole situation. There's 2 financial years, 3 financial years, 15 billion rand unspent. We are fighting a losing battle if we cannot fix our infrastructure. Minister, you will build dams and lay new pipelines and new water purification plants. It won't help us. If there's a shortage of water, I'll use an example. In Maribeng, they are building a new plant, 60 megaliters, 20 megaliters, they add. Their water losses in a report that was given to the previous minister, Edna Moleva, the water losses in Maribeng is 70%. You add another 20% or another 20 megaliters, 70% of that 20 megaliters is also going to go down the drain because the infrastructure is rotten. You've got to fix it. First fix the problem, and then you would see that if I spent 50 million rand fixing the infrastructure, I don't need another 20 megaliters because I will save on the 60 megaliters where I'm losing 70%. I will save that water. So it's efficient water, but it does not get to the end user. Our people are struggling because of rotten infrastructure and bulk infrastructure. But Minister, it's that example all over the country. We've got exactly the same problem. And it's just getting bigger, and nobody can really tell us now. Like Rand Water said, is it still 7 billion rand? Is it 9 billion? So please, Minister, I really think we need to rethink the process of this. Training is good. I accept that. I acknowledge that the government has done good training the people. The fact is, we are not utilizing those people. And we need to stop that. Thank you, Minister.
If I were to complicate matters more, Minister, I identify four areas which could assist the department going forward. When we went to Lonmin or Rassenberg, the report is with Dr. Ndili. He gave me a copy. You have a copy. What the mining houses said is that they are not going to assist in building of any new plant. However, they can assist to maintain your infrastructure by saving on loss of water. In other words, you bring back water. That's what, to a point where they are also saying they are not going to give any money to anyone. Rather, they can bring engineers at your disposal at their cost. That's one. Related to such is one cell phone provider, a network provider, that says to me last week, they can train water engineers. Similarly, one beverage company says the same thing. They can train water engineers to a point where they can even assist with technology that detects early detection on leak that takes place on any infrastructure. So that saves you, Minister, money, if you like, whether from National Treasury or anywhere else. That could be a remodeling of your business proposition, number one. And number two, again, the question I was asking here is, what is it that really would take for the department to work with COCTA? COCTA has got a program that talks to a 10% of any municipal budget having to be based on maintenance. As to whether that happens or not, it's neither here nor there. That's part of what they call their back to basic program. Now, linked to that is also an issue of MISA. You yourself, Minister, also do mention the discussion you've been having among others with COCTA, specifically with MISA, taking a responsibility of running such. MISA, as I was mentioning, you know, I've got a letter here that was, you know, given to me by one of the service providers out there in the marketplace. They're talking about maintenance, repair, and operation of municipal water infrastructure within the geographic regions of South Africa. This is already an appointment letter for one of those service providers. Now, that's shovel number three. And then, of course, the department having to be able to say in this entire exercise that there are partners that almost immediately you can get involved with. Both your COCTA, if you like, your public works department, and also private sector. Private sector, for me, would be my low-hanging fruit that I go straight into. They've got short meetings and short decision-making processes, where such matters, for them, they would come in handy, as I said earlier on. No one would refuse to work with government. It makes hell of a sense for those, you know, private sector institutions. For whatever reason, those are the kinds of things that I would really Perhaps along the same lines as Mr. Pason, but not entirely. But for me, it would form part of a process that really begins to say, let us locate this maintenance and operation of those infrastructure to where it really belongs through that entire process. I would imagine here, at the end of the program, here is phase one, phase two, phase three, gone, done, dusted. What else next do you do? I would imagine it is COCTA then that takes that whole process forward. How best and how quicker can you do that whole exercise? So that would be it for, I don't know if you, Minister, and your team would want to comment on any of those remarks.
Chair, there's nothing like never when you work. I don't agree with that. It's an incorrect proposition. This thing will never work. This thing will never this. That's not how things work in life. We have made a concession. I hope the members of this house would remember this. We made a concession that the program was introduced incorrectly, but it is there. It has been funded for the last two or so years. We were all there, including myself as minister. It was in cabinet, we are collective. We account to parliament as well. It was there. We have already spent, I repeat this, 2.6 billion rands on war on leaks as water and sanitation. That should never have happened according to the model. Because the model defines clearly who is responsible for what. So the question then, the choice we have had to make is, do we settle for a war, fruitless and wasteful expenditure where we would have spent so much money, yet we would be not, there would be no results for that? Because even if they are not working for the government, they are, if they are working in the South African economy, they're making a contribution. Ultimately, that might be the issue. So we've got only one group that I'm told remains in terms of the program. Of course, this was discussed by the team with MISA. There's a document they produced together and so on. This whole thing about MISA is something that is being explored at the moment by the team. They've met with them. They've given me the document as well. The issue here is the program is there. Our view is that, and this is why I'm saying, I had to go to Treasury after Treasury correctly said, no, we can't fund, use the funds that we allocated, blah, blah, blah. But now let us regularize this thing, at least for this financial year and the only last group for next financial year. There's only one group that remains to finalize the training. That's all, and then we have already taken the decision we won't proceed beyond that. That is why we still kept Rand Water instead of bringing on board Mhlatuz and all, because all of these things were there. But we removed all of that so that we can focus on this and make sure that we're in control. So this, the points that the members, the honorable members are making, we agree 101% with them. However, we're faced with a reality on the ground. And that's the reality that dictates to us this way. On the points made by Chairperson, there is a principle here that the President has publicly pronounced on, getting private sector involved. I was approached during the period of investment and all of that by private sector companies, including Black Business Council, led by Black Business Council, actually, working together, coming together to us with the DBSA. They preferred DBSA as the program manager because they trust DBSA. These are private companies. We agreed. We put together a team with COCTA, where Trevor Buzzer should be here. He's part of that team. With COCTA. COCTA has got a team, technical officials, as we do. And that team is working on the document which was submitted to me as a proposal from private sector companies to say we would participate as a, and answer the call by the president. However, we would prefer that DBSA be the program manager because they've got a long history of infrastructure development. So we agreed, the president, we took it to the president, president agreed with that, and I asked Minister Mkhize, I'm the one who was engaged by business led by BBC, but I thought it fitting for me to give this responsibility to Minister Mkhize. So we met the two ministers and our officials, and I said to him, please lead this program. So I'm working very, very, very closely with Minister Mkhize on this issue, so that because I realize that these things, some of them, in terms of the model, are not going to happen over the next so many years until we deal with the model. Secondly, private sector people who want to be involved trust DBSA more than they trust any other thing, and we agree on that. So that is why I'm saying MISA, which is under COCTA, and I've proposed that MISA be the financial manager and DBSA be the construction manager of this infrastructure that we want to see happen as of yesterday. So that's from our side. And the president, as I said already, the president pronounced on something that I proposed 3 days before, that we should have this intergovernmental, because it's something that we need to have to, so that we can undermine these problems, these weaknesses that are in the model in the shortest possible time. That's where we are now. Minister Mkhize, in fact, will chair that, will lead that again. He's already indicated he's met the technical teams, officials have met already in terms of the IMT, the Interministerial Task Team, so that we can move on these things as soon as possible. That's why it is called Rapid Response and Technical Team. So we're trying to deal with these issues. I'm saying this, Chair, because I appreciate the fact that the honorable members are correct in terms of their analysis of the situation. I can comment, Chair, on specific businesses that you have put together here now. You've given me here. I can't do that. I think it would be improper of me to do so. Thank you very much.
Let's take it that this is work in progress. We shall have to receive those periodical reports as part of an update on work done in this area of work for the department. Let us also await the budgeting aspect of this program, so that at least we don't have to rob Peter anymore. So that there is one way of dealing with this matter, and there be no confusion going forward. Okay, members, I think with those few words, let us move with speed and allow the minister and the team to take us through on the packet eradication program. Thanks for that, and thanks, Runwater, for having made through here. You have paid for your sins for having made it through here than simply having just come and keep quiet. there are others who must remain behind. Two of them that must still pay for their sins. Thanks for the two of you who are leaving us, and thanking the two that are remaining behind. Thanks, Minister. Mama?
Ngiyabonga usihlala. Ngithanqolise la kuminister. Lokhu ngifuna kube in record, sihlala, ngemvume yakho. Uyabona abantu phansi abayazi indaba zobulk nokunye. Bazibona nje uminister kawodwa. Kodwa-ke if ngendlela abeka ngayo, if kuzoba impumelelo kuzokwazeka ukuthi kwenzeke kanje ukuthi lwa mnyango uye kuhlukana ngalolu hlobo, ngizobonga. If kuzokwenzeka, kungezi ukuthi uzogcina ngoba kukhulunywa lana, ngiyabonga.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, through you. Let me say to the minister, minister, you know, people at grassroots level, they know you as a minister of water. They don't know you as a minister of bulk infrastructure. Yeah. But whatever you are saying, minister, let me give you a benefit of doubt and hope that whatever you are promising will really, really happen. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Minister.
Hey, thank you, Chair. Honourable members, the comments are noted. Chair, the Chief of Operation Officer will lead the presentation. Thank you very much. Just I'm sure the Chair would have noted my comment about the intention to use the construction unit of the department to speed up the process of bulk eradication. So, because we have activated it, it's working now. Even in Kiani, it is the one that's working there. In Glen William, it is the one that's working there. So, it's the one that's going to lead the infrastructure build for the Ndabelanga Dam. So, it's working. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chair. The presentation on the BEP, I need to upfront make the correction on the slide that has indicated that the completion of the bucket eradication program will be done by March 2019. I have to indicate that we have been to the committee before, and we have raised this issue, and this issue has been raised on numerous occasions. Minister has just indicated the approach that we have undertaken in terms of utilizing the construction unit in order to eradicate the backlog of the budget. Indeed, the budget was allocated to the department to be spent within this financial year. But upon realizing that we would not be able to complete the backlog within this financial year, as a department, we have approached the National Treasury in relation to then grant us approval to make the rollover when the time has come to proceed with the project. And indeed, they have committed to us that once we have proven to them that we would have made the commitment in relation to the project, then the request for the rollover will be approved upon the request that will be put forward to the department. I am going to request then Mr. van der Walt and Mr. Manas to take us through the progress, because the intention for today is to give the members the progress up to date of where we are since the construction unit has started with the project. Mr. Linara.
Thank you, CEO. Yes, honourable members and chairs, that good morning, or good afternoon rather. Just to go then straight from where the COO has left off, which will take us then to slide number 4, where I just want to give you just a brief overview in terms of the reason why the intermittent supply and other technical terms that Mr. van der Walt will be using as he will go through the status report actually reflects. On slide number 4, you see a diagram of a house and with a pipeline that going down, and that we're talking about the household connection, which will include the stop structure of the bucket eradication program, the unit that is being discussed in that regard. You will also note that this slide then speaks about the gravitation that happens from the house through the household connection to the street, where there will be a sewer collector or a line, that the sewer line where the waste will be collected. Now, the honourable members will remember that when you did your site visit and in places like Klokkolan, that you would have noticed that there were raw wastewater or raw sewage that actually was evident on the surface level, and your questions raised from that point. On the diagram, if anything, it might not have been due to the eradication of the bucket itself or the quality of the work done on household connection level, but it could be also maintenance-wise or the situation with regards to the fact that if anything would be thrown into a manhole, it actually would cause the collector not to work and wastewater then to back up into the house or even in the surrounding areas. If you go to the next slide, you will also note that there's a pump station on slide number 5. That pump station will come to an effect when the wastewater cannot gravitate. Now, town planning would happen to be that it would be designed to allow majority of the sewer lines to gravitate, but if the topography wouldn't allow it to be, that would, you will need a pump station. And if the pump station is not working, or it's out of order due to electricity faults, due to maintenance situation, the sewer line will not work and it will not carry the waste away. When it comes to intermittent supply of water, this would mean that if there's not enough water supply that goes to the house, it will then actually mean that the flush toilet will either not work or it will work at certain times. And the design of a sewer system would be of such nature that the solids will not only be carried by the 7 or the 12 liters of water that's being used to flush the solid away, but it will also require the other wastewater such as shower, bath, or washing water to actually ensure that the system is being kept clean. Now, if there's no water supply, the solids will dry out in the system, and that will also cause further blockages. With that background, perhaps in terms of the technical side of business, when it comes to a slide that will be seen, as Andre will give it to you later on, you will perhaps just get the understanding as to why there are certain areas where intermittent supply is labeled as one of the key areas, risk areas, to the successful implementation of the bucket eradication program. At this stage, I will hand over to Andre just to go through the national status report.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Minister, Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Committee and colleagues. Chair, my presentation will continue from slide 6. And as the Acting DDG has indicated, that a lot of the background information is already with the Portfolio Committee. But perhaps just in a minute or two, just to contextualize again, that the program was earmarked to look at approximately 52,000 households, primarily in 4 provinces where the greatest backlog in formalized areas existed, and that include the Eastern Cape, the Free State, Northwest, and the Northern Cape province. Now, Chair, the emphasis that we're making throughout our presentation was to look at households using bucket toilets in formal areas. And by implication on formal, it means that the network or what we're supposed to provide or install would tie in with a broader infrastructure network of a particular town. So, Che, with the 52,000 household buckets located in those 4 provinces, we have approximately 50 bucket eradication projects, with about 13 projects remaining for completion. You will find that information, Chair, on slides 8 as well as slides 10, 13, and 10, 11, and 12, sorry, my apologies for that, of the remaining 13 projects that we are attending to. And on page 8 of the presentation, you'll then find we have indicated on the status there that project in the Northern Cape will include Griquastad, Campbell, Maranteng, and Poesdien. And if we go to slide 10, it will then include projects such as Senekal, Kokkelan, which we have gone to visit to, and I think DJ has alluded to that, the Raids Project, Arlington, Pietersteyn, and Dielsville. That in total brings it to 13 projects that will require bulk infrastructure to now ultimately activate these projects to flush the toilets that we have then installed. Chair, on slide 14 of our presentation, we have included a couple of pictures just by demonstration. As much of the work was done by the program, you will find, for example, on your left-hand, top left-hand side of that presentation, this is the project of Lindley in the Free State, where the project is complete. We have installed a grey water recycling plant that we can actually harvest grey water and reuse the grey water for flushing toilets. You'll see at the bottom there is the typical pump station that will actually pump the effluent now to the wastewater treatment well. Now, Che, you'll notice on the slide there, you'll see two pumps being disconnected from the actual pump station. So currently, as we speak, the pump station is not functioning as a result of poor operations and maintenance of the pump station. That is just but one of the challenges that we are sitting with, that we are unable to now flush the water from the household, from the street, right to the treatment facility to get the system working. And as a result, you'll see the picture on the right-hand side, that as you flush the waste through the toilets, you'll actually find dried sludge now collecting in the pipeline. And more often than not, you'll find a household saying, but the program is not working, or the project is not working, my toilet has never flushed. That's precisely because we have an intermittent supply of water in this particular town. People are getting water from 6 to 9 in the morning, and again from 6 to 9 in the evening. So it's rather difficult to expect a system of this nature to flush, pump the effluent to a wastewater treatment work, and have enough raw water in the wastewater treatment works to then recycle the grey water and put it back to the houses for recycling again. So as much as the work is done, we'll then have a situation that the project at this point in time is not functioning. But that will not be the focus of our construction unit. We are of the view, Chair, in consultation with the municipality, that this is rather an issue of operations and maintenance, and also augmenting the water supply to make sure that the project can actually function. Chair, on slide 15 of the presentation, just in summary, to again just indicate the project that is our area of focus, that are the 13 projects that we will be dealing with, amounting to about 12,221 households that still need our assistance. Chair, slide 16, you already have that information with you, is that these are the projects that our construction unit, together with our engineering services, were able to collectively scope the work, measure the works, cost the works, and these are the ones that we'll be starting with immediately. John, the next slide, slide 17, you'll find, remember, Che, when we last presented to the Portfolio Committee and together with Minister's guidance, that we will present to the committee realistic completion dates. Noting that perhaps the goalposts have changed over time, but this is particularly in relation to the completion of the bulk infrastructure, and we've indicated the time frames of when our construction unit realistically anticipate completing these projects. I've also just indicated as to when we can then expect the completion in the delivery quarter, whether it's the fourth quarter of the 2019-20 financial year or the first quarter of that very same financial year. And I've done the same then for the Free State as well as the Northern Cape on slide number 18. Che, since our last engagement in November, a lot of work has actually happened administratively, operationally, together on site to get this project activated and completed. I have indicated for the convenience of the portfolio committee on slide 19 the Northern Cape province, and we'll deal with the two provinces separately. And I've indicated once more the project that our construction unit will be implementing on behalf of the department, together with a number of key milestones that we needed to pay attention to or deal with before we can actually start with construction. So a lot of preparatory work would have taken place between our last engagement and today to make sure that we can actually construct. Those include the awarding process to our construction team. I think Minister has already alluded to the directive that we will then utilize our internal construction unit to assist with the BEP program. The months of October, November, and early December, the team has been at work to scope the work as to what is required. Together with that, review some of the available designs that exist, but as well as designing some of the outstanding designs for bulk infrastructure that we don't have in our possession, together with a process of mobilizing the teams that will include recruiting local labor, doing the compliance issues, notifications to the Department of Labor, doing the medicals of those people that will be working, appointing the environmental control officers. All of those things needed to be done before we can actually start work. So that is work that is already underway, and some projects completed and others still underway, to a point where we can actually then establish site and start with the work, together with process of procuring some of the material other than those that the department will construct through the plant. I think that has been indicated earlier on, where we will actually manufacture some of the pipes ourselves. So, Chair, on slide 19, you'll see then the light brownish, orangey-colored blocks. I've just indicated then for the remainder of the fourth quarter, moving into the next financial year, when we then anticipate the completion of those projects with the dates, or in light with the dates that we've given you in the previous slide. So, Griekwastad, for example, is an eight-month project to do the pump station, do the outfall sewer, and complete the remaining internal reticulation works. And I've indicated that for all the projects in the Northern Cape province. I repeat the same, Chair, for the Free State province, and again, perhaps in my introductory notes, that this is a province with the highest backlog of bucket toilets in the country. Perhaps just to add as well that where people have used a VIP toilet, and some of those toilets are actually full, people start using a bucket toilet again as a means of sanitation or as a form of sanitation, which is not the focus of this, but those are incidences or events that are reality in dealing with this particular program of eradicating buckets in full in all the communities. So, Chair, again, the project that we have put our attention and focus on was the Ficksburg project, Senekal and Clocolan in the Free State, with the final costing and designs available for Petrostein, Dealsville, Rates, and the Arlington project, and then a construction program to be announced during this week or early next week by our construction team as to how long will it then take reasonably to complete those outstanding four projects in the Free State projects, which will then take us to a total of seven projects to complete in the Free State province. So seven in Free State and six projects in the Northern Cape. Chair, I just want to move to slide 22. This particular slide, Chair, just indicates the cost of the program in completing the bulk infrastructure. You will see, as I've indicated, the bulk of the work lies in the Free State province, with about 348 million rand estimated to complete those projects, and a further 40 million rand in the Northern Cape to complete bulk infrastructure. On the far right of the slide, I've indicated some reticulation work that needs to be completed in one project in the Free State, which is Senekal, estimated at about 32 million rand, and then for the Northern Cape, will require about 58 million to complete the internal reticulation in those four projects listed there. So all in all, Chair, for bulk infrastructure, we are looking at a budget of about 388 million, and for the completion of the remaining internal reticulation, a budget of about 58 million. And Chair, this must then be seen in light of the budget requirements. We've indicated, Chair, on slide 23 that on the bulk infrastructure there was a budget allocation of 440 million rand that will that was allocated up to March 2019. As we've indicated, Chair, realistically, it would probably not be entirely possible to do all of the work by this particular deadline. But we have set aside 121 million that will be used by the end of March, of which the balance then will then fall within the 2019-20 financial year, amounting to about 319 million to complete the bulk infrastructure. Chair, I think the COO has already indicated on our discussions with National Treasury to say that provided that we can demonstrate that there's a commitment to the spending of this money, our application for a budget rollover will be considered by National Treasury so that we make sure that the funding is available to ultimately complete the project. The last project, according to our timeframes, Jay, is estimated to complete by March 2020, but with the construction team on site, they are deploying maximum resources to the project. We may possibly realize earlier completion dates, but being realistic, we have provided the date as per the presentation that we hope that this year would be the final year for dealing with issues of bucket eradication in the country. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, that is our presentation to the committee in relation to the bucket eradication.
That's it. And clearly, your Bloomwater, having been invited here, it was in the context of the history, not knowing where things were going or are going. The history, I'm making reference to talks to them having been part of this bucket eradication program. So what we are getting from the minister and the team clearly is that this is a subject matter that is dealt with internally by the department, which is one of the things that we've been talking about as the committee for quite some time. We are finally at that point. The only hope and wish we can always have going forward is that we have been having goalposts being shifted at any given point in time by the department on achieving of what is expected of the department. That this time around things do happen. The slogan keeps going, saying, it's not even a slogan as a matter of fact. It is about an expression that talks about sanitation being dignity. So the unfortunate part about dealing with these buckets is that the only people who are affected directly are the African people. So when you talk about such sanitation being bringing dignity, it talks directly to those communities. So that's the major challenge that we're confronted with. Okay, members, if there is any comments or remarks, questions, want to make Mr. Pasona, saw your body moving and your hands moving, assuming that you are lined up. Are you?
The Chairperson, I would just like to congratulate the Minister for for using the construction unit. They were sitting in our department now for a few years doing nothing. And I think if they get the the gist of the kind of work they're going to do, I think that's going to save the department and the country a lot of money.
It would also be appreciated, Minister, just on that note of saving, that we also get a sense from the department in terms of figures on the savings that I think it's an exercise that is important for the department and for us as a committee going forward. Otherwise, it will just be one of those, Dr. Cabin.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to check in as far as this program is concerned. I wanted to check with the Minister whether is it possible that the model that you are saying, is it applicable? It can be applicable to this program. If yes, then I will propose that the same model be used in this program. The Minister that was speaking about.
Okay, any further questions, comments, remarks? Minister and your team?
Chair, that the answer to the dog's question is yes. What we would be happy with is and I hope the Honourable Person, because he would have helped me on this one. With the Honorable Kalako to get this steering committee from the community going, because that's critical for the model, because we want community involvement. So that's an area which I'm keen on with the Honorable Members when we do work, just to make sure that the model is implemented. It is not an easy thing to do. Because it's got to be, remember the 51%, 30%, 19% in terms of the budget policy speech, and therefore the professional service providers would come in where there's the shortage of the capacity, both in terms of the 30% and therefore the 19% is set aside for that. So those are things that that would be happy for assistance on, because we want the steering committee to be a community-based project oversight committee, so that these things that have been happening don't happen. If we take just the initial part of the work that we're doing in Glen William in terms of money, the initial budget was 300 million rands. But the budget that's actually operating is 175, almost 50% reduce, and so on. So this we are excited about. We guardedly excited, but we are excited with the progress that we're making. We just employed 30 people there. We should employ another 80 if we were moving fast in terms of the procurement processes of the department. Now we would be having 33 plus 80 people working. Already we've appointed this 33, but the department's processes are so slow and they're like snail, literally. Thank you very much.
Any further comments from the department? So, fine?
We are fine. Thank you, Chair. If there are no questions from the members. Thank you.
Dr. Cabin?
So can the department explain why snail? Why not in a speed? I just wanted to check why are they snailing instead of moving?
I met with the team a couple of days ago for that question. You know, the procurement process has got 7 steps to follow. and they are going to give me, I asked Paul to give me, and Shai to give me a, you remember that? Let's get that. Because exactly that's a critical question. This model, step number one, the line function, for example, Leonardo would say, well, that was October, you remember? He actually moved very fast on that. He was acting. He moved very fast with everything. The moment he stopped, everything just collapsed. And the steps are line function. From the line function, it will go to supply chain management. It will go to the engineer, internal again. It will go to specifications. It would go to debug. It will go to DBE, DBEC, and then go to the accounting office. Somewhere, anywhere between those, through that value chain of 7 points. I'm trying to deal with that. That's why I've written down now. I'm waiting for them to give me this quickly, and I've just, the CEO was present and the acting DG. I want that because when we meet, I'm meeting with them this afternoon. I've asked the DG to send them down as well today because I want a report, a preparatory report for the launching of the advanced infrastructure on Monday for the Mzimvubu Ntabelanga Dam. That's the advanced infrastructure for there. Because I want to make sure that nobody, when there is a delay in any of this, I know exactly where the blockage is. Because that's where they kill progress. It is 7 steps. And as long as we didn't know how they work, I know now. I'll be able to trace exactly where the blockage is. I'm very pleased. And that's why I'm answering Chase, because I like the question. It's exactly the problem that we are experiencing, because I think not all of us in the department are happy with the revitalization of the construction unit. I think we still want to outsource some of the people. Thank you.
Mr.
Minister, please take out those blockages. You're right. There are people there that feel that they made some commitments prior you being appointed that construction will die and the jobs will go outside. Take away that blockages. Get them out of our system, remove them, and let's go forward. Please, Minister.
As they always say, the will of government is slow. Until we get to this point, the point that talks to, you know, it's like one of my pet questions, especially as it relates to the entire cycle of water use license application. We get to be told that it takes no less than 300 days. And the question that I always ask is that what happens on day one, on month one? Where is that process? You never get to receive any answer. And until you get an answer later that says, but there's a backlog. And how big is that backlog? And no response comes by. So we have those kinds of responses from time to time, Minister. It was just a by the way. You can comment more than welcome.
I'm establishing a water use license coordinating, applications coordinating, to be chaired by the Deputy Minister. And all provinces will submit to that committee. Because we want that committee not only to look at the numbers, but to look at the transformation. Because you still have a lot of emerging farmers saying we applied, but we're not I'll give you one example. Free State. They apply for 1,000 hectares of water use. And they have been given 100 by the Free State. But they're saying there are wild farmers there along the orange. They've got water use licenses. They're not using. They're even renting them out to us. Yet you have water services authorities there on the ground, which are municipalities, district or local. So this weekend, on Friday, all of us are coming together, including farmers, to deal with this problem and to tell them this is what I'm doing now, establishing this committee. This committee is going to receive these applications and sort them out. It's going to come to an end, Chief. We're going to deal with this. Thank you.
That then brings us ample to the end of our meeting. Ample. Until Dr. Gavin raises his hand.
Chairperson, the word, by the way, it's giving me a problem. You see, when you want to run a institution, and then you are using the word, by the way, it raises eyebrows. So maybe something has to be done, by the way, removing that word, by the way. You see, when issues are being done, maybe some other people will be saying, by the way, I'm the chief of staff, or I'm the engineer, or whatever. Let me do this. Because of the word, by the way.
I'm lost. I'm aware that I was making an example as a by the way on my part. I'm not sure what else.
Listen, by the way, I asked for closure.
Okay, thanks once again, Minister, and your team. Once again, also to Tim Bloomwater. Not by the way. And members, thanks once again for having made it and contributions to make it. It's work in progress, I must say. Periodically, we are going to come back from time to time. Next week, Madia shall tell us what is it that we are doing.
Members, in terms of next week, the committee alongside, and I think this also ties into what the minister was talking about in terms of the water use license applications, the presidency has approached the committees of water and sanitation, agriculture, forestry and fisheries, as well as land reform and rural development to participate in a roundtable discussion. That is next week, Wednesday. We'll communicate the details of that session during the course of today and tomorrow. So that's next week. We were actually meant to have it today, but it's been postponed to next week, Wednesday.
That is part of a task team set by the President, headed by the Deputy President, to solicit all of those ideas and views. Again, it's all part of the entire exercise that looks into dealing with this whole expropriation of land without compensation. That day shall also be the deadline for this entire process. Today, having been expected to be that time, was in anticipation of next week's being the deadline. So we're literally meeting on the actual day that the deadline falls on. Appreciated, therefore, for members to be part of that session, as it is going to be championed by the Office of the Deputy President. There's a chairperson who has been appointed to lead that process by the name of Dr. Mahlathi. I've been interacting with her over this past few days. As Madia had said, details are provided in due course between today and tomorrow. It's not taken as a leave, part of our day of work. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for making it.